Good morning. Welcome to our service today. This is now the second week of the Advent season, and in the congregation we will light the second blue candle on our Advent wreath. Sometimes that candle is called the Bethlehem candle to remind us of the place in which preparations were made to receive and cradle the Christ child. The prophet Isaiah calls Christ the Prince of Peace. Today, our peace is found in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ. And we light that candle then to remind us that it is Jesus that brings peace to us. And we pray, loving God, thank you for the peace you give us through Jesus. Help us to prepare our hearts to receive him and bless our worship. Guide us in all we say and do. And we ask in all the name of the one born in Bethlehem. Amen. We begin our service then in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's turn to our Lord and confess our sins and receive his forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and I have failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in Jesus my Savior, I pray, Lord, have mercy. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and he has given us his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. O Lord, stir up our hearts and prepare the way for your only Son. By his coming, give us strength in our conflicts, shed light on our path through the darkness of this world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The scripture we turn to today would be our gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 3. We hear of Advent's fiery preacher. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea, the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when John saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, John said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of our Lord. We turn to the Lord and let's speak the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We turn then now to our message for today. Hope is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful blessing. Hope bends, it twists, it sometimes hides, but hope does not break. Why? Because our hope is built on our faith in God. Where God is, hope is. And hope sustains us when nothing else can. And hope gives us reason to continue and courage to move on. My friends, Advent fills us with hope. So we turn to our epistle lesson today, then, serving as our sermon text. Romans chapter 15. I'll begin reading at verse 4. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration, writes, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name.' Again it says, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples.' And again Isaiah says, 'The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him.' May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." This is God's word. It was a dark and stormy night. You recognize those words? Well, perhaps if you've forgotten them, or maybe too young to remember, they're the words of Snoopy, that black and white beagle in the Peanuts cartoon. The comic creator would have Snoopy at his typewriter, writing his story that would begin with a line that would be borrowed by an English novelist. It was a dark and stormy night. The Christians in Rome knew about dark and stormy nights. For the Christians living in Rome, in that extremely pagan city, it was a very hostile environment. There was some friction in the congregation between the oldies and the newbies, in other words, between the Jews and the way they did things, and the Gentiles and the way they did things. But the main threat was the false teachers, the smooth talkers who tried to lure these Christians from their faith and rob them of their hope. The family of a 7-year-old girl in Ghana, Africa, was having a big celebration. She was going to be married to the gods, and in doing so, she would make amends for the sins of her grandfather who had stolen money. Little did that 7-year-old girl know that what was in store for her. This practice is called trokosi, and it is a practice that makes those girls virtual slaves to the temple priests, who would overwork them, beat them, and often rape them. In this way, those girls, the 7-year-old girl, was punished so that the gods would not punish the family member for whom they were atoning. The false teachers in Rome were tempting the Christians to become slaves to try to atone for their own sins. In reality, that is really what all false religions do. They take all the work of salvation off of Jesus and put some of it on us. And that makes for dark and stormy nights of hopelessness, nights that sometimes interrupt our lives. For some, the season of Advent is stormy because of grief. Grief comes with loss, the loss of a loved one, the loss of your health or mobility, the loss of friendship. For some, the season of Advent is stormy because of brokenness. Images of family harmony around the Christmas tree that's clouded by real life strife and friction. For all of us, the season of Advent is stormy because of sin. We rebel against God in the thoughts we think, the words we say, and the deeds we do. Instead of being generous and thinking of others, we focus on ourselves. We turn inward. Into our dark and stormy world, into our dark and stormy lives. We look around today and what do we see? We see the color of Advent. We see the color of blue. The blue skies of Advent break through the dark and stormy nights, and they usher in days filled with hope. We have hope in the Word of God. Verse 4, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. The Scriptures are filled with hope. Abraham hoped for a son. The people of Israel hoped for the promised land. And then hundreds of years later, they hope to return to that land as a remnant out of captivity. The Apostle Paul hoped to spread the gospel to the Gentiles. And what became of all those hopes? They became realities, including the best reality of all, God becoming man. A father visiting his daughter in Seattle attended the Seattle Symphony Holiday Concert. He described it as entertaining, but hardly inspiring, until, quite unexpectedly, these familiar words drifted out over the audience. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Do you know what I know? And suddenly that father remarked it was Christmas. Do you see what I see? The star, the light of God filling the dark of night as Jesus was born in a barn and laid in a manger. Do you hear what I hear? The song of the angels filling the quiet night. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to me on whom his favor rests. Do you know what I know? The peace in my soul, joy in my heart. As Paul goes on, we see that we have hope in our unity. Verse 5 and 6, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The unity we have as believers is beautifully illustrated in the Advent wreath. The Advent wreath is a circle. We're part of a circle. And we have a common belief in what those four candles symbolize: faith, hope, peace, and love. Our peace, our love, and especially our hope is built on our faith in God. There is a picture of an old burned-out mountain shack. All that remained was the chimney. In front of this destroyed shack stands an old grandfather dressed in his overalls with a small boy, his grandson, clutching onto him and crying. And beneath the picture are the words which the artist has the granddad saying to the grandson, "Hush, child, God ain't dead." My friends, God ain't dead. God is alive, and he's doing well, and he's watching over his circle of believers. He keeps us together, and he holds us close. And we have hope in the Savior. Verses 7 through 9, verse 12. Accept one another, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing hymns to your name. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. Black Friday started the countdown to Christmas. Consumers are urged to buy, 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 and it pretty much works. The church has its own countdown to Christmas. It's called Advent. Advent is a time of preparation. The preparation's not about decking the halls or trimming the tree or baking cookies or wrapping presents. Rather, we prepare for Jesus to come into the world, cradled in a dirty manger. The stump of Jesse, a little baby, sprang up to be the Savior. And as the God-man, Jesus lived a glorious life. In his thoughts, words, and actions, Jesus met the glory of God, the perfection God demands. What we couldn't come close to doing, Jesus did for us. As the God-man, Jesus died a hideous death. The cross here in church may be draped in blue, but Jesus' cross was covered with blood. Blood that paid for all of our sins, canceled all of our guilt, our death, and our hell. We have hope. We have hope through the scriptures. We have hope through our unity. We have hope through our Savior. And it's all tied together by the Holy Spirit. The closing verse, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The world's definition of joy is whatever makes you happy. The world's definition of peace is when you have no conflicts in your life. The world's definition of hope is when your life is going the way you want it to go. Our joy, our peace, our hope for the child of God is built on the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope is what Advent is all about. This Advent season turns our eyes to that baby born in Bethlehem. He's not just a baby. He's God. And where God is, there is hope. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And receive with believing hearts, then, the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. God be with you. God bless you, your week.